towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. So again, yesterday the theme was harmony, and we worked with that Wazifa, Salam. We're going to work with it again today, so if you weren't there yesterday, you'll catch up. Okay. The theme today, or the keynote of the day, is insight. Insight. So from the Bull of Saki by Hazrat Inayat Khan, tolerance does not come by learning, but by insight. Tolerance does not come by learning, but by insight. Can everyone hear me okay? Thank you. By understanding that each one should be allowed to travel along the path which is best suited to their temperament. Shall I read it again? Again, close the book. Let's go home, right? If we could only, right? So again, in the words of Hazrat Inayat Khan, tolerance does not come by learning, but by insight. By understanding that each one should be allowed to travel along the path which is suited to their temperament. I can say that this was a really wonderful lesson that I learned again and again from my Tibetan Buddhist friends, you know. And especially living amongst the monks, you know, in the monastery, it's like, it's okay, let them do. That's their karma. Sometimes we think we know what is better for another person, but how can we really say? Each one has their own kind of trajectory, their own path, their own unfoldment, and it's sometimes hard, right, to be witness to someone going down a certain direction. We want to save them, but sometimes saving them means letting them do what they need to do to learn it. Telling them makes them sometimes very angry, yes, as if we should know more than they. It's different for parents and children, but you understand what I'm talking about, adults. And we all love people, and we can see things unfolding, and we want to do something about it. But tolerance and insight, sort of penetrating through that surface of what appears. Have you ever gone through that experience where perhaps in hindsight you've had some insight into something, right? So it teaches us from experience. You don't have to even believe the words. We just know that the development of insight is important, and in a way this path helps us to unfold that. The language of Wazifa, I think, is significant in helping us to uncover certain vibrations that help us develop that, and we'll work with some Wazifas. But are we kind of all in agreement with that we've had those experiences and we understand, and yet we often make this mistake, or the goodwill. We often extend the goodwill, however misdirected it may be, to offer opinions or advice when not asked for, or to maybe even thinking it, you know. Well, anyway, let's think about that. It's a beautiful, and you know, if there was anything that Hazrat Inayat Khan was trying to teach, especially if we think about the time when he was bringing the teachings through, where there was so much strife in Europe and division, this was so significant. And I really have often thought that Murshid Inayat Khan's Sufism is really more of a social movement than anything else. So tolerance does not come by learning, but by insight. By understanding that each one should be allowed to travel along the path which is best suited to their temperament. And this is Murshid Samuel Lewis's commentary. It is from the view of God that real tolerance comes. This is the stage of the enlightened who understand all. If a person were all heart, he or she would find that they were all I, meaning I-Y-E. Okay? If a person were all heart, he or she would find that they are all I, the seeing I. In Jabberut, are you familiar with that term?
No.
I'll define it for you in a moment, but let me finish this thought and then we'll go back. Jabberut, by the way, there are these spheres of existence that Anayat Khan talks about, going from the most material to the most spiritual. And so there are these evolutionary stages of consciousness, and Jabberut is one of them. Okay. In Jabberut, if one can be said to have a body, let us call it a spiritual body, that body emits light and receives light from every portion of its surface. I inhale divine light and life. I radiate divine life and life. You start to see the subtlety. You see the words coming through of the practices too. Okay. So in Jabberut, if one can be said to have a body, let us call it a spiritual body, that body emits light and receives light from every portion of its surface. Its function is not differentiated. Furthermore, as soon as one thinks of another, as soon as a person loves another, instantly they are as one. They may appear separate at other moments, but then they are one. I think there's a subtlety here in this teaching, and perhaps Murshid's using somewhat of a delicate language. But when, you know, Murshid Avira used to talk to us a lot about relationships and about parenting and about respecting another in a love relationship. It feels like there's a subtle reference here. And she would say, and Pier Vilayat used to say that, and I think Murshid Sam understood it, the idea of union of a partner, sexual partnership relationship, of being very conscious of the commingling of these light bodies. And so there was, again, you know, everyone's free to do as they wish, but it's respectful to maintain respect in those relationships and not always be so casual as we find sometimes that can happen. So no lecturing, but the mindfulness of that commingling of the light bodies. So these are the words of Hazrat Anayat Khan on Jabberut. And this is from the Sufi Message, Volume 1, The Soul Wince and Wither on the Five Spheres of Existence. So Jabberut, and sometimes you see it spelled first, Anayat Khan spells it J-A-B-U-R-A-T. Murshid Sam spells it with a D, D-J-A-B-R-U-T. It's a little bit different, but you know, it's a transliteration, so you have to kind of get your mind around that. So Jabberut is a sphere in which the soul is at home. In the awakening state of the soul of the average man, this is only touched for a moment at a time. Have you ever had that? Like that deep moment where you just feel complete, and then it, you know, we might want to even grasp it, but it's there and then it's not there, but it's a beautiful touchstone for us. Anayat Khan's words again. man, woman, does not know where he is at the moment. He calls it abstraction. So we could, maybe in Hindu terms, maybe we might think of this as a level of samadhi. Do they not say when a person is not listening that he's not here? Where are you, right? Every soul is lifted up to that sphere, even if it be only for a moment. And here, listen again. And the light, the life and light with which the soul is charged in that sphere, enable it to live on this earth. The life full of struggles and difficulties. Yeah. Every soul is lifted up to that sphere, even if it be for only a moment. And the life and light with which the soul is charged in that sphere enable it to live on this earth, the life full of struggles and difficulties. Are we getting a little sense the practice we did yesterday morning, the breath practice? Remember I said, Hazrat Anayat Khan said, this practice is important for us to understand because it is the key to many other mysteries. And here in the first Surfi message volume, he's talking about light and life. I inhale divine light and life. I radiate divine life and light. You see how that practice relates to this paragraph? It sounds so simple. Oh, I'm inhaling divine light and life. I'm radiant. But if you really think deeply what he's telling us, it's as if we're, you know, what does Rumi call it? All the particles are dancing together. Shall we do the practice? I'm trying to be sensitive to my time, which seems somewhat shorter than in the past. So let's just sit for a moment and breathe in that phrase. And be mindful of the turning of that phrase. So on the inhalation, we're thinking of absorbing. I'm inhaling divine light and life. And on the exhalation, I'm radiating divine life and light. So the turn of the phrase is very interesting. In one way, when we're breathing in, we're going from the more subtle, perhaps, to a more dense, and then we're going from the more dense to the more subtle. So there's this undulation. And Murshid gives those instructions, again, I'm referring to Hazrat Anayat Khan, that not only are we absorbing light and life and radiating life and light, but we think that we're also, and these are divine light and divine life. We're also absorbing love and radiating love. It's give and take. Those that know Tonglen also understand this. Murshid had connections with the Buddhist in the Himalayas. He understood this. So just inhale very subtly. We might do a unique kind of breath where we breathe in through the nose and out through, in through the nose and mouth simultaneously, and out through the nose and mouth simultaneously. So while we inhale, I inhale, we're thinking, I'll say the words for a moment. I inhale divine light and life. I radiate divine life and light. I inhale divine light and life. I radiate divine life and light. Continue for just a few moments. As you sip this divine light and life, feel it enliven and enlighten every particle of your being. It's almost like it's like that superconductor at Project CERN in Geneva. You know, it's like we're amping up, and then we breathe out, and it's like bam, you know, we're giving it back out again. Kind of divine tuning. Inhaling divine light and life, and radiating divine life and light. We can emphasize this practice by using the practice, the sacred word salam, salam. Again, I'll read what I read yesterday. This is from the Physicians of the Heart. We, by the way, all of these teachings are published, and the audio files, sometimes video when we're at home, is available online. So if you want to connect with Noor Salima or Karima Gita and get on the mail list so you'll know when these are public, with all the references, so all the books that are used and reference points are clickable links to get you where the references have come from. Yeah, that fly wants to bite, doesn't it? It's hungry. So again, from the Physicians of the Heart, a book published by the Sufi Rouhaniyat International, Ya Salam. Ya Salam is the one who is peaceful. It is the maqam, or the spiritual station, of complete peace. You see the connection to Jabarut. Where this perfect peace is embodied in every peaceful act. This divine quality is recommended as a greeting when meeting others. Salam, salam, salam. And its recitation is an antidote for disharmony in our relationships. A good one to remember. One form of the root of Ya Salam means to be safe. To be safe. The peace of Salam is not a dead place, nor should it be seen simply the end of hostilities or any kind of mere cessation. It is the divine energy that bestows peace itself on us. It is the miraculous word. It is the miraculous word that Allah, that God, speaks to our soul. What does that mean to you? It's the miraculous word that God speaks to our soul. Why is it said that that's salam is the miraculous word that God speaks to our soul? What does that mean? Perhaps, yes. Yeah.
Vibrational shift we feel when we come back. Oh,
that's a good answer. No, it's a good answer. What else?
This time when you read that, I focused in on a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and our soul, that God speaks to our soul. Why? Why is that the miraculous word?
Present, you're saying one word for it is safety, or to be safe.
Oh. Yeah.
So that's what stands out for me, is that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like it's in this place that's not really a place. Mm. Because the peace, really kind of this, in the body, in the physical realm, there can be all this stuff going on, but that peace is, it's, I don't even know, I don't want to use the word core, but it's in a place that, and that it's a center maybe. It doesn't mean all this stuff isn't still going on, but I was thinking of the word energy also. The energy that one meets it with is very different.
Mm.
Because it comes from that place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the deep place in the ocean almost.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking about the invocation, something like that word comes out, the word is within, and there is this connection to, and yet, I guess I think about all the 99 names, or the 9,000 names, or whatever, but it all is...
That's okay. That's good. Sometimes it can't get it quite into words.
I could not get it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's Sorry. Good, and thank you for stopping. Sometimes we know it, but we don't want to stop. We want to keep, so thank you. I think we need to think about that, because it's the miraculous word that God speaks to our soul. Well, maybe we'll revisit that subject another day, but how about if we just leave that in the atmosphere that we can continue to think about it? I don't think they're right or wrong answers, but I think it's in Sufism, they call them ayats. They're clues. It's like, it could be likened to the tracks in the sand or in the dirt, right? And you can follow these clues and maybe you get insight along the way. Again, I want to remember our brother Ayaz at this moment, because he was always sitting with us when he was here in his body. And although we don't pull him here in any way, we welcome his spirit now that he suddenly left his body a few months ago. Our dear brother. And he was initiated right by that tree. Yeah, so... Ya Salam may be repeated as a prayer of blessing for those who have departed. It brings the knowledge of not being abandoned at death to those who may be grieving and to the departed soul as well. So let us do this practice, Ya Salam, and just think about, this is the miraculous word that God, Allah, speaks to our soul. And remember that the soul is something that is so precious and yet eternally alive and awake and illuminated. And we have these veils, these coverings over it. The body, the mind, the personality, the character. But this is the word that God speaks to the soul. So when we do the wazifa, Rashida Vera always talked about it. First round, first 34, are said aloud with the prefix of Ya. And Rashida Vera used to talk about this as it's almost like the setting of a nail. You know how when you start to set the nail, you go bonk, bonk,
yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. And then as you get it set, you kind of do more tapping. So the first round is aloud with Ya. Ya is honorific. Oh dear. And then we grow nearer to intimacy with the sound, and we drop the Ya and we just whisper. Like, you know, when you're close to your beloved, you just can whisper. And then, when you're ever so close, no need for word, you're just sharing the breath. So these are the three phases of the wazifa. And think of it as speaking to your body aloud. Sometimes it needs a little paying attention. And the heart is more delicate, softer, and the soul, just the breath. Feeling the enlivening of that vibration, okay? And the emphasis is on the last syllable, lam, salam. Ya salam, ya salam, ya salam. Ya Salam, Ya Salam. salam. Ya 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 salam.
Bless you.
Ya salam.
Now whispering. Salam. And we just with salam now. Salam. 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 Silently. Ya salam. The miraculous word that God speaks to our soul. Any comments or questions? Thoughts, feelings?
That's what we have. That's why I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
Yeah. Children in this huge, confusing state of being in this body.
Inshallah. Inshallah. But back to Murshid Samuel Lewis's commentary. It's hard to understand from the physical, and again, remember he's talking about Jabarut now, this sphere of existence. This is hard to understand from the physical or mental points of view. This is hard, this spiritual atmosphere, this spiritual station, is hard to understand from the physical or mental points of view. For in these planes, the life is very different. Besides which, activity depends to a certain extent on our differences, even though these differences cause harmonies, Remember yesterday I said harmony isn't created by playing the same note. Harmonies are by different notes. Yet, so long as there are differences, there are opportunities for disharmony. Disharmony.
Disharmony.
It's
so, can the differences then be invitation to find?
Perhaps. Any other thoughts on that before I say something?
Well, tolerance is a cure for disharmony.
Yeah.
We were talking about before.
Yeah. I think so. Don't you think?
Yeah. For me, disharmony is from.
Right.
I think of harmony, and I think of the Greek word for it, symphony.
Yes.
And I think about a symphony, and I think about all the fact that there's all these different people, all the different instruments, all the different notes, and yet they call it harmony.
Yeah.
Because they're all playing together, they all are moving together, and that even with all the differences, repeating what you were saying yesterday, there is, in all of that, there is still some sort of of that piece of music, or that.
Yes. Creamy Gita, you were going to say something?
No, I think the thought, I was going to ask, what I was asking to read that, because I keep hearing opportunities for disharmony, and I keep.
Yeah, this is hard to understand from the physical or mental points of view. For in these planes, again, we're talking about these different planes of existence, the life is very different, besides which activity depends to a certain extent on our differences. Even though these differences cause harmonies, yet so long as there are differences, there is the opportunity for disharmony.
One of my favorite pieces of music is the Rite of Spring. And when it was first came out, there were riots in France about it because the harmonies were so disharmonious to what had been the sensibility.
What did you say, the Rite of Spring?
The Rite of Spring by Stravinsky.
Oh, Stravinsky, I was thinking.
And he's in this very powerful, but he listened to nature. You know, as much as the technique of music.
I think the I-ness, but if we're each playing our own note and not worrying about another person's note or worrying about what they're thinking about our note, or wanting them to agree with our note, or pay attention to our note. All those things, if we're just playing our note, and everyone's doing that, then there can be harmony. It's when we get distracted with wanting to somehow orchestrate that, when there's one great orchestra leader, isn't there?
Well, you know, I was thinking, before there was what Creamy Gita said when you were asking that question before about why it was the I can't remember. But also, if we're in that state, then we don't put out the disharmony.
Don't you?
Yeah. But even that, in that state of deep peace,
yeah,
then you don't put out the disharmony into the world. Because
the picture that you gave me,
well, we understand what you're saying, and I think that that is the point, you know, and we talked about, again, about that yesterday, that, you know, being the keynote. Remember, we gave that concept. If we're the, we need to, if we could find that note, which is actually the keynote, it tunes to all the other notes.
As a teacher educator for my career, if I go into my classroom disharmonious, kids pick up on it instantly, and it is a hellacious mill. And when I find myself more at peace, even though students have come in and they bring their drama with them, somehow, either maybe I'm more tolerant or over a shorter period of time, it seems to be resolved. You know, we're talking about the key. Well, for that bell, I'm supposed to be the keynote.
Mm-hmm.
And with those kids, I'm trying to create the harmony
yes.
for them.
Yeah, and that is a really
yeah,
wonderful example to show that you can be that.
Or I can create disharmony. The opportunity
yeah.
for disharmony is right with me.
Right. That's right. We have a little bit of time. I want to read the conclusion of Murshid Sam's commentary here, and then I'd like to get into another practice so that you can think about that for the next 24 hours or, you know, infinity, however, whichever comes first for you. But so the heart point of view of the sage is to regard all opinions as the offspring of mind. The heart point of view of the sage is to regard all opinions as offspring of mind. And knowing that spiritual evolution is not a mental process. Yeah, wasn't that a good one? The heart point of view of the sage is to regard all opinions as the offspring of mind. In other words, these are all constructs that we make, but there's no reality based in that, the ultimate reality I'm speaking of here. So the heart point of view of the sage is to regard all opinions as the offspring of mind.
The heart
point of view. And knowing that spiritual evolution is not a mental process. I want you to know. Murshid always said that nature responds. You see, this is a very important moment for us right now, whether we realize it or not. This being is here, and the birds gather around those, you know, like, look at how it's come closer and closer to us.
I was on a bird walk this morning.
Yeah, right.
That enlivens.
It's making a circle. Did you hear it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's circumambulating us.
Mm-hmm. And once I was taking a bicycle ride up to the Little Divide was, and it was so difficult. I got there, and I thought, oh, shucks, I really wanted this to be an accomplishment of my soul. You know, I wanted to make it. All I had was the bike, you know, it was a rental. I pulled off to the side of the road and sat by the rock, and I was feeling so sad at the top.
Because you gave up your will. And you were inspired in another way. You see?
Exactly.
It's a very important lesson. Yeah. So I'm going back one more time. I'm going to read the whole thing through. The point of view of the sage is to regard all opinions as offspring of the mind. This can be one's own mind or another person's mind. And knowing that spiritual evolution is not a mental process, rather a sloughing of mind. Everybody get out your scrub, okay? It is not against any special opinion, thought, or belief that the sage is opposed, but against the mental centering in itself. Thinking that we can think our way through it, okay? And the only way the sage can oppose it is to give all love and tenderness towards all people, regardless of opinions, knowing there is no such thing as right opinion and wrong opinion, that opinioning itself leads to difficulties. Remember what we said yesterday, the Sufi always takes into consideration one's own point of view and the point of view of the other. Anyone ask you what Sufism is, that's the answer.
Really?
That's the answer.
So it's just flashing red state.
So let's work with this practice for just, we have a little bit of time. And some of us in the immediate circle have been working with this practice of Kabir, Kabir, Kabir. You can do it if you feel comfortable doing it, but what it actually does, you know, the thing about Arabic language and some of those languages of the region, you know, we're like, blah, 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 everything's like right here on the front of our mouth, but to activate different parts of the throat and the palate actually alter our spiritual states. They change something in our physicality and energy. So the sound is khabir, khabir, and the emphasis, although it's this sound, the emphasis is on the beer, kabir, khabir, and the second word is shaheed. So kabir, let's read from Physicians of the Heart. Achabir includes the whole realm of inner knowledge. Remember, the keynote's insight. Achabir includes the whole realm of inner knowledge. It is depth of insight that penetrates into the most secret and buried places of the earth. Ya Kabir is recommended for accentuating subtle openings in the realm of inner knowledge. Al-Kabir includes the whole realm of inner knowledge. It is the depth of insight that penetrates into the most secret and buried places. Murshid Hazrat Inayat Khan, Pir Murshid Hazrat Inayat Khan, always said that true understanding comes from penetrating insight, this deep concentration into something, so that we get beyond the surface of it, and we see beyond the immediate vibration of appearance into the deeper sense of it. So this is that sense of Kabir, going into the secret place of understanding, the impulse, perhaps. Does that make sense? Thank you. So Ashahid is this is again from Physicians of the Heart. Ashahid is the quality that expresses God's witnessing all things without limitation. It is the whole realm of outer knowledge. So we're dealing with inner knowledge and outer knowledge. Inner knowledge and outer. It is the whole realm of inner knowledge that is perceived by the five senses. Human beings who fully reflect this quality are able to witness whatever arises in their perception without prejudice. So it's this it's as if Kabir opens us up to this deep inner knowledge that then we can apply when witnessing with our senses. Because honestly, I'm going to tell you, this is the most dull, this is kind of Dullsville, let's say. But you know, these things are beautiful. They're gifts that we have in order to experience our world. But that is not the reality of the world. It's an avenue, and you know, this is why they say, let sleeping dogs lie, let a sleeping person remain asleep. Those sayings are all about this. Not to rent the veil too quickly, but that there are these subtle openings. You know, we hear this in Farida Din Attar's The Seven Valleys. We go through these initiations. St. Teresa of Avila, the interior castle. St. John of the Cross, the dark night of the soul, the dark night of the spirit. We have a lot of ayats. We have a lot of clues that's telling us there is a process to the removing of the veils. You know, Shahabuddin Sawardi talks about the seven veils. So we hear this again and again. We know that this is true to some extent by these great mystics that have written about it, giving us clues. But even then we can't understand it. They're words, they're conventions of the mind. It's more important that we find the experience of it. Okay. Well, let's do the Wazif and let's see what happens. So again, 34, we'll do them together in tandem. A lot of these Wazifas are done in tandem, not all, but they can be. Remember Pure Velayat, sometimes he'd give me a string of four Wazifas together. But you know, it helps you get away from the mind. You concentrate on the sound. He probably realized I was pretty dense and I needed a lot of that. The other thing that I wish for you to know, that when you're given a practice, you may consider doing it not only 101 times, but 501 times for a period of time. This is especially true if you don't find an immediate attunement to a Wazifa. There might be an obstacle and it will help. Ya Khabir, Ya Shaheed. Oh, here's another thing. When you do Khabir, okay, I'm doing it with my eyes open, but you're going to do it with your eyes closed. You're going to look as if you're looking sort of at the center of your head and up, and you're catching that divine light, the divine wisdom, and with Shaheed, you're bringing it through. Open your eyes just slightly and experience things through your senses, okay? Very subtle. Give it a try, see what happens. Ya Kabir, Ya Shaheed. Ya Kabir, Ya Shaheed. Ya Kabir, Ya Shaheed. Ya Khabir, 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 Ya Shaheed. And now we're just going to do Shaheed Kabir. We breathe in, Shahi. Excuse me, I'm sorry, Kabir. And out, Shahid. Kabir. Shahid. Kabir. Shahid. Kabir. Shahid. Kabir. Shahid. Kabir. Shahid. Now breathing in, Kabir, and out, Shahi. Remember, eyes up. Eyes open on Shaheed, just slightly open. Ya Kabir, Ya Shaheed. So this kind of opening up to this deep insight, and then the application of that insight to everything that comes to these senses. You know, if you've ever had the privilege of being in the presence of someone that's even moving towards enlightenment, you will notice that everything they do with great concentration. They may be picking up a piece of food, but they're very mindful. Or they look at someone and they're very attentive. You know, everything is done with great purpose and great concentration, not, you know, handing it. You know, it's not like that. It's real presence.
Mm. And I felt like, wow, that's so unlike me.
On our website, we have these beautiful, you know, one of the greatest scholars of Anayat Khan's teachings is Murshid Sharif Graham. He has spent much of his years when he was an educator, professor, sabbaticals at the archives in Surin, and all of his retirement. He's completed that work now in those brown books, if you know about them. They're very important. But he has tuned so much to Hazrat Anayat Khan, and he's had the great opportunity of meeting with, over the years, because it's been decades he's been doing this work, with some of the people that knew Anayat Khan when he was alive. And so he is a great storyteller. So on our website, he's given us permission. He did these series of several talks about an icon, and there's some great stories about the rhythm of Murshid, and you know, you know, there was one where he was traveling with Murids, and they had sat down for a meal, and the train was coming, and the train was going, and he never got disturbed. It was like, another one will come. There was no running for that train. Another one will come. Yeah. May the blessings of God rest upon you. May God's peace abide with you. May God's presence illuminate your hearts now and forevermore. Illuminate your hearts now and forevermore. Ya Salam. Don't forget Ya Salam. The word, the miraculous word that God speaks to your soul, and Kabir Shahid. Okay? See if you can find reasons to use those and how they work for you. Okay? If you feel like it. If you don't, do what you do. It's fine. It's all fine. It's all God. Amen.
Thank you.